give you the first announcement on Zoom. So if there's any instructions, you want to do that first before I open the meeting?
I think everybody's an old hand now at Zoom, but just as a reminder to attendees, if you do want to get our attention, raise your hand on Zoom. There are two opportunities for public comment, and if an attendee has called in, hit *9. And then just as a reminder to everybody else, if you could mute yourselves when you're not speaking so we could keep the background chatter and Jan's cats quiet in the background.
I'm at the office.
Ah, well, you don't bring them to the office?
No.
All right. That would be fantastic. And I think that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you. We'll call to order the Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, February 1st, 2021. This is the Coachella Valley Association of Governments Transportation Committee meeting. And we're via Zoom. Roll call, please.
Light.
Here.
Cathedral City.
Here.
Coachella. Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
Indian Wells.
Here.
Indio.
Here.
La Quinta.
Here.
Palm Desert.
Here.
Palm Springs.
Here.
Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Riverside County.
Mark Lancaster for Supervisor Perez. Good morning.
Agua Caliente. Sunline Transit. We do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I'd like to welcome Dennis Woods, who's a council member for the city of Palm Springs. He is now going to be appointed for the city of Palm Springs. Lisa has left us for now. And then Dana Reed, you're back. You've sat on this committee before, right?
Truthfully, I don't think I was. Was
oh,
I?
Really? Okay. Well, welcome to the committee.
I think at one point you might have been on the committee.
Okay, thank you. But I'm glad to be back then.
And then it's a pleasure to introduce Mark Lancaster, who is now the Patty Romo of the county, the director of transportation. Mark has worked many years with Riverside County Transportation Commission, so he's not a stranger to a lot of us. I believe you did a lot of the right of way, right, Mark? So yes. If anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm happy that Juan and Sharissa chose to me to replace Patty, who I've known for forever, and I know was a very, very good transportation director, and I hope to at least live up to a little bit of the bar that she set. She set it very high, but I'm happy to be here and glad to be a participant in this meeting. Thank you.
Great. Well, welcome. With that, we're going to move on to the public comments on the agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
We do not.
That makes it easy today. Mr. Executive Director, do you have any announcements?
Oh, just to repeat, welcome to Mark. We do have a long and very good relationship with county transportation. We really turn to the county for many of our most complicated projects, like those on the interstate. So we look forward to a continued great relationship with Mark and county transportation. And then just to update the entire committee, I mentioned it to Mayor Gregory. I'm making the rounds, particularly in the Western Coachella Valley, on our Western Coachella Valley flooding and blow sand study. And of course, this committee remembers the good work we've done there, or we've looked at a number of major crossings in the Western Coachella Valley. And there are a couple of big ticket items like the $250 million bridges on Indian Canyon, as well as Gene Autry, where we've looked at more cost-effective solutions. I made a presentation to the City of Palm Springs City Council on Thursday. We'll be making one to Mayor, of course, your City Council tomorrow evening. And I know Mayor Gregory's interested in me doing so in his city as well. And I'd be happy to do so for any of your city councils if there's interest even further to the east. So I look forward to that. And of course, the next steps on that as well, and that's getting those cost-effective solutions accomplished, funded and accomplished. That's it for now, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I don't have the announcements. At this time, we'll move to consent calendar. We have one item on there, item 5A. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to approve that?
So moved, Cathedral City.
I'll second that.
Is there any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
You know, no, roll call won't won't be necessary. You could certainly ask if there's any dissent or abstentions.
Yes, changing meetings here. I know this one's a little easier. Is there anybody opposed to this item? We see none, it passes.
I do prefer more entrepreneurial than lazy.
Thank you. More effective.
And I would like to abstain, Joaquinta.
Joanne, you got that?
I do, thank you.
All right, no items have been held over from the consent calendar. We'll take item 6A, which is SBA 21 call for projects, and that's gonna be Martin McGuire.
Does Martin know that, and Jenny know that they are in fact muted?
We're working on it here.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Each year, Riverside County Transportation Commission funds local bicycle and pedestrian projects through the SB 821 program. This program is funded through LTF funds each year. 2% of those funds are set aside for the program. And on every odd number year, the commission conducts a competitive call for projects where local agencies apply for these funds. Eligible projects include the construction of bicycle lanes, sidewalks, ADA improvements, and bicycle and pedestrian master plans. This year's call for project opens today. This year, a new program policy is being implemented. Policy changes include extended period to complete the project, focuses on the safety destinations and multimodal access, and limits projects 3 applications per city. Proposals are due at 5 p.m. to RCTC on April 29th, and after evaluation period, they are to be awarded by RCTC in June of this year and allow them to go to construction in July. The last cycle, SBA 21, the program had 35 applications. There was a total of little over $7.8 million in funding. However, there was only 3.8 available countywide. The Coachella Valley had 9 applications submitted for a total of $2.5 million. However, only 4 projects were awarded funding of about 1.3. In January of 2020, when RCTC reviewed their mid-year revenues and adjustments, they found that there were savings that other projects could have been funded. So based on the scoring in the program, Cathedral City and La Quinta were also awarded funding. So Coachella Valley fared pretty well. They ended up getting $1.7 million of the total funding, which is about 45% of that program. In your staff report, there's a table of the projects. It's a breakdown from the last cycle of what the projects that were submitted and funded. Jenny Chan, with RCTC is here today, and she will provide an overview of the new program for this cycle. Jenny?
Hi, yes. So Martin kind of went over a lot of some of the things that I was planning on sharing with you guys today. So I'll just be going through the slides fairly quickly, and I could take questions at the end. So just as a refresher, SBA 21 is a discretionary program administered by the RCTC Commission to fund local bicycle and pedestrian projects. The program is funded through the Local Transportation Fund, or LTF, which is a state sales tax. On every odd number year, the commission conducts a competitive call for project. Eligible projects include construction of bicycle lanes, sidewalks, and ADA curb ramps, and also the development of bicycle and master plans. Next slide. So as Martin mentioned, a subcommittee of the TAC was formed in March 2020 to update the program policies and procedures based on the feedback we received from the last cycle. We spent about 6 months updating the program policy, the application, and the evaluation criteria, in which accumulated to the RCTC Commission adopting the new program policy at last month's commission meeting. So some of the big changes include extending the project completion timeframe from 24 months to 36 months, updating the evaluation criteria to allow for more points for the safety question, and allowing agencies to start the project at the beginning of the fiscal year instead of waiting for the MOUs to be executed. Next slide. So one of the big changes from this cycle is that we establish a maximum request amount and a maximum award amount for each jurisdiction. So the adopted policy allows for the maximum request for an application to be 10% of the programming capacity. And each jurisdiction is only allowed to be awarded 20% of the programming capacity. So for this year, the programming capacity is $4,325,000, which means each application is capped at $432,500, and each jurisdiction is limited to $865,000. Next slide, yes. So additionally, one other big changes this year is that we are not requiring hard copies. Instead, applications will be uploaded to the SB 821 portal website. This will require you to either use an existing Gmail account or create a new one. And before you upload the application, you must complete a project questionnaire, which is provided in the guidelines. And I highly recommend that applicants familiarize themselves with the questionnaires first before submitting the application, because you can't save it, so you need to complete it in one sitting. So as Martin mentioned, the call for project officially opens today, and applications are due April 29th at 5 p.m. And just like last year, applicants can request one-on-one sessions with RCTC staff to discuss guidelines, project eligibility, and competitiveness. The guidelines and applications are available for download on the RCTC website under Call for Projects. And that completes my presentation. And I'm open for questions.
Anybody like to jump in with some questions? Well, you did a great job. No questions from the committee. All right. You don't need any action from us today, right, Martine?
There's no action required.
Yeah. All right. Item 6B, Jenny, thank you very much for the report. Item 6B will be the amendment number one to the Frank Sinatra Drive Bridge Reimbursement Agreement. This is going to be Eric Cal. Like the beard, Eric. Getting better every time I see you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm very excited to bring a group of these items to you today. The first one is the Frank Sinatra Drive Bridge Reimbursement Agreement. Next, we're located in Rancho Mirage. This is between Duval and Highway 111. Across the wash. The city of Rancho Mirage has given us a couple of exhibits that show what the bridge is projected to look like. It's obviously going to be a very impressive structure, both above and below, with some of the new design changes. It's going to go up in the air to clear the water level and to create a very aesthetic addition to the city of Rancho Mirage. Next. So this project started back in 2011 when the city asked for a little over $3 million in regional funding to match federal funds that they had not yet obtained. There was a lot of concern when this item was approved that the city actually get those funds obligated, and they were able to in 2012, next, to show that they did get the federal funds obligated of $31 million for this bridge. Along the way, CVWD came up with some changes in their standards, especially with respect to scour and also with respect to bicycle and pedestrian improvements. And so now, a decade later, the project's cost has increased because of right-of-way, because of design changes, especially the scour changes. To where now this is a almost a $47 million project. Props to the city of Rancho Mirage, who was able to get the funding from the federal government. That money is already programmed. However, it's HPP, Highway Bridge Program. That funding through Caltrans is significantly underfunded and over programmed. So it's currently a 20-year waiting list. Again, kudos to Rancho Mirage. This last year, 2020, Caltrans and Federal Highway reevaluated all the HPP projects. Many were dropped from the list, and many of them had their programming pushed way into the future. The city was able to keep their bridge funds programmed into this current year to complete the design and right-of-way acquisition. The funding for construction, though, was pushed out into they call the future, fiscal year 23-24 beyond. So there's some uncertainty to when that money will become available. Next, so the amendment number one that they're requesting would increase CVAG's share, basically true it to the actual project, would increase our share from $3 million to a little over $4.5 million. However, that money will not be required until the project enters construction. The city is not requesting to enter construction at this point. They're not requesting an advance in construction funding. They're happy to wait until the funding becomes available through the federal funds, which again is somewhat uncertain. Because of that uncertainty, CVAG's policy provides for a time trigger, looking at 2 years to construction. And in this case, we know the project will not likely go to construction in 2 years because it's not programmed for the two-year window. But because of the uncertainty in the federal funds, it will allow us with the two-year time trigger to look at the project in 2 years. Is the federal funds becoming more likely? Maybe the federal funds got advanced because of a stimulus bill. But from a cash flow perspective, and as you know, that's a big topic these days, it will allow us to keep a target on when that money might become necessary. And so the time trigger is 2 years to construction. And so at that point, the project would have to be reevaluated or request an extension in time. And that's consistent with our policy. So we're recommending to increase the CVAG's stake from a little over $3 million to a little over $4.5 million, $4,548,858. To advance, to make these funds match the actual project. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, any questions? I'm not seeing anyone. All right, we'll move to a motion.
Mr. Chair, it seems a very sensible proposal and I would move approval.
Seconds.
I had a motion by Cathedral City, and I think Kathleen beat you, Jan, on that. So Lakita seconded.
It's all Kathleen.
Any more discussion?
I'll just say, after having lived in Rancho Mirage back in the 70s and going through all the mess that's been on that street, it is time.
Absolutely. Any more comments? Anybody opposed to this motion? Motion passes. All right, we'll move to item 6C, which is construction contract for the Regional Transportation Signal Synchronization Project Phase 1, and it's also going to be Eric.
Thank you. This is a very exciting item for me personally and for CVAG in the region. This project is for the three corridors in Phase 1. Next, to show the location. And I guess this is a slide you've seen before, but it inspires me, and it's notable. Again, I'll keep reminding us, but when this project went out to bid for design, the bottom sentence there was part of our scope for the design engineer, is that this is going to rival any similar project in the country and be unique as it is bold in scope. And you know what? I think we've checked that box. I find that to be inspirational, and I find it to be exciting. And I don't know that you can all share in my excitement as quite as much as I can, but I'll tell you what, this is a great project for the region. And if we take a look at the three corridors, it was the three top corridors in our prioritization, which was obviously Highway 111 and then Ramon in Washington. And this will become kind of the backbone, especially Highway 111, the backbone of our signal synchronization program into the future. This project also includes all of the jurisdictions, so all of the cities, plus the county and the state in traffic operations centers in those locations. So this project started back in, the design started back in 2016, coinciding with when I started at CVAG. So it's near and dear to my heart. It seems like it's been around forever, but it started in 2016. In 18, we completed our master plan and participating agreement. As I think you're all aware, everyone is participating with the exception of the city of Rancho Mirage, which had its own federal funds and has completed or very nearly completed a very similar project. In the spring of 2019, we got our final plans underway and we pivoted. Made a few changes to have one controller standard for the region and have one traffic management center for the region. As part of that, the executive committee and the transportation committee wanted us to have a third party review, do a pilot. We revised our concept and we did that. And we went to next. In the spring of 2020, following that, we completed all that. We submitted in January, and in September of 2020, this last September, Caltrans gave us the green light to construction, which was that there's construction, yay! I don't know how excited I can show you. I'm trying to be conservative in my excitement, so I showed some fireworks. But when we got the green light in September, we were able to advertise for construction in October. We were able to award the contract in November. We had three bidders. We had CVAG staff, we had Advantech, our design engineer, and we'd also pulled on board TKE Engineering as our construction management. And after a lot of analysis, looking at the bids, we determined that Crosstown Electrical Data Inc. was the lowest bidder and responsive bidder. All three bidders were within about $2 million of each other. The engineer's cost estimate was about $21 million. And the project actually came in at $21,185,347. Actually, it was a little under the cost estimate, but with all of the additive alternatives and contingencies, right at the estimate. And the other two were a little over the estimate, but all very close. We had a responsive bidder and a low bidder in Crosstown. We believe that this project will be completed within about approximately 18 months once it starts. And we're recommending that we award this contract to Crosstown Electrical Data Inc. and that we enter phase one of construction.
Move adoption.
I do have a motion by Indian Wells. Do I have a second?
Second, Palm Desert.
And I do have discussion. Tom, you want to start?
I don't know. When you get a motion and a second, as a staff person, you should shut up. But in this case, I must acknowledge the hard work of Eric and the entire team. This has been a long time coming. Chairman, how long have we been talking about signal synchronization?
I've been on this committee almost 14 years, and I'm sure, I think Dick Kelly told me it was talked about 10 years before that.
Yeah, and we did do a small signal synchronization project at CVAG 20 years ago, and not much is left of that. I think you all know that your visitors, your residents, don't particularly care when they cross city boundaries on Highway 111. They just want to move from point A to point B as efficiently as possible. This will help make that happen. And for all the groundbreaking ceremonies and grand openings we do on big capital projects, I will bet any of you that this will have a bigger impact on traveling in the Coachella Valley than any single big capital improvement project. So This is a big deal for the Coachella Valley. We look forward to working with Rancho Mirage to connect this regional system to its system. And it's a big day for the Coachella Valley. And again, Eric, the Advent Tech team, Martin, you've all worked hard. Thank you very much.
Yes, kudos to all of you. Any more discussion? I see no hands raising. All right, is there anybody opposed to this motion? All right, item passes. Move on to 6D, which is contract amendment for regional transportation signal sequestration phase two, environmental and engineering services. Eric.
So that was phase one, which will shortly be under construction. Phase two was the next 18 corridors that we prioritized in our master plan. And when we have evaluated phase one and phase two with our TTAS, our erstwhile TTAS committee, we had a lot of input that we were missing a few corridors. In other words, there's a couple of corridors that really made a lot more sense to add to this 18 to kind of complete the regional arterial system that is managed locally. In other words, we need to put it into the regional system to manage altogether. And not coincidentally, it tied to Portola, which will eventually have an interchange. It tied to 50, which has developed considerably over the last 6 years from when this project was conceptualized, and now with an interchange in intersection of 86 and a future interchange on the 10, and 44, which is a kind of a necessary corridor to include when it comes to routing traffic and around flooding events and other intersectional considerations. TTAS basically said, look, we need to at least add these. The fourth is Varner, which turns into Avenue 42. Varner itself is pretty long though, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But so those are the corridors. So in April of 2018, Advantech began phase two, and that was a $4.5 million contract and included 18 corridors, as we've said. When TTAS reviewed that, next, phase one and phase two, again, TTAS really, as all the public works directors had, you know, thought, hey, there's a few missing that we really ought to include. Those are four corridors, as I just mentioned. The fourth one, Varner and Avenue 42, is over 20 miles long, and we'll talk about it in just a second. So go to the next slide. So we asked Advantech to prepare amendment number one, change in scope, and let's add those corridors. So they took a very close look at what that would entail, and we're going to end up recommending three of these corridors. We're recommending that we add Portola 44 and Avenue 50 as kind of completing that second set of arterials. Varner Avenue 44 is over 20 miles in length. Is going to have significant environmental phase work. It's going to have a lot of special studies in it. The overwhelming cost of that over 20 mile piece plus the delay of environmental, what we're recommending is keep that as a priority, but not fund it, the design of it yet. Hopefully there'll be some stimulus money in the transportation sector or some other opportunities to leverage external funds. So we'll keep it kind of on the table as something that we'd like to keep prioritized, but we're not recommending it designing that today. The other piece is on tribal lands. We're consistent with phase one. We're going to stick with wireless. Again, the cost to go underground is expensive and is going to have a lot of delay in terms of environmental study. But the performance of wireless is virtually the same as fiber optic. So it doesn't really impact the performance of the system. Fiber optic is still preferred into the future. It's more secure, it's better, but in the short run, it doesn't have a performance impact. So we're recommending we stick with that for phase two. Again, keep it on the back burner for the future when funding becomes available. And so that this, adding these three corridors, the design and environmental, would add $489,640. We anticipate time-wise that this will be available to submit to jurisdictions in about a month or so, 4 to 6 weeks. We'll be able to give you the first probably 80% plans to review, including environmental submittal, and that this could be out to bid this summer, very likely to be out to bid this summer by the end of the summer, which I think will be an advantage to CBAG in that the construction will overlap, which I think should allow us to get a nice low bid for phase two. If a different contractor is going to come in from phase one, they're going to have to sharpen their pencil. And our phase one contractor should be able to sharpen their pencil so that we have a very competitive bid for phase two. So the recommendation is to move forward with this amendment number one for $489,640. In this case, these would be Measure A dollars. We are not leveraging CMAQ dollars into the design of this phase. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have some questions from Mayor Gregory.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to comment a little bit on Varner Road. Certainly don't disagree that that is quite an undertaking, but I am encouraged to see that it's not just being removed. I think in many ways, Varner Road is overlooked as an arterial, and its value to the all of the cities of the valley and those that travel through the valley. It is the since it is kind of sometimes doesn't get the same amount of attention as other roads, it is also the source sometimes of issues and complaints. I guess my question would be though, by continuing it on but not funding it at this time, if we do have additional constructions or even signals added to Varner Road, what would be the mechanism to make sure that the future of eventual signal synchronization is included?
Sure. I agree completely. If you take out the 10, basically arterial-wise, you know, if you look at Varner and you look at 111, that's the east-west arterials. I think working with the county and the jurisdictions that pass, that Varner passes through and Avenue 42 passes through, we should be able to ensure that any future improvements made traffic-wise on Varner are consistent with the design standards that we have established for phase one and phase two. Many cities have been moving forward with traffic signalization projects within their jurisdictions. And I know some in Palm Springs, some in Palm Desert, some in Cathedral City and others. And to date, they have been following the specifications that we've established and agreed upon regionally for signal synchronization. Again, this is the first time in the history of the Coachella Valley that all of the jurisdictions have agreed on a bundle of equipment and technology to use. And we've been, the cities have been doing that in the county. Not so much the state yet, they're kind of the 10,000 pound gorilla, but they'll change too. But I think that voluntarily the cities and the county have been complying with our new standards.
All right, thank you.
And to add to that, you might remember the discussion of controllers. We do have a standardized controller for proposed for the entire Coachella Valley, or at least an open source controller, right, Eric? And that's a big deal. I don't know of a single region in the country that has agreed to use the same essentially hardware across jurisdictions, which will make it a lot easier for us to coordinate across long corridors like Varner.
Any other?
Right, just a comment I forgot to add before is, when you buy a new car today, you see all the gadgets and gadgets they've been adding electronically. And most of the country, if you drive your car through those regions, nothing happens. The Coachella Valley will be ready for those vehicles in a year or two or three at most. And when you drive those vehicles in the Coachella Valley, all of those technological tools will be at use for a connected vehicle and receiving information and communicating with the signals with your vehicle. So it's a very exciting time and we're right at the cutting edge.
It is exciting. When I was chairman of Riverside County Transportation Commission, we did a study or had a presentation on that, and 5 years ago, I think that was. It didn't seem like it'd be here soon enough, and now it is. So moving cars by them speaking to each other and the systems would be great. So any other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Woods.
Thank you. Just a quick question. For phase one, what is the timing for completion on that, Eric?
So for phase one, we expect that it'll, assuming it gets through executive committee this month, we expect that it'll probably begin breaking construction by May, perhaps a little earlier, but by May for sure. And that it'll take approximately 18 months, maybe sooner, but it depends a lot on the contractor and their workload right now. I think we were, I don't want to say lucky, but we were fortuitous to get a good low bid. The signals are an area right now that a lot of cities and municipalities are working on throughout Southern California, and all of the signal contractors are loaded. So we're projecting a year and a half, but it could be faster. I doubt it will be longer, and that will overlap phase two, which will start by the end of the summer.
Mm. And the second question is, I understand Rancho Mirage did its own thing. Will this system talk with Rancho Mirage and communicate back and forth with it?
So Rancho Mirage had federal funds, several projects that they had applied for long before our project, and they completed their improvements largely in 2020. I think there may be some final punch list type things, but they're basically done. We are going to be tightly coordinated on Monterey because the city of Palm Desert and the city of Rancho Mirage share that corridor. They split down the center line. So we're coordinating already on that corridor. We connected a number of other places, and the city's improvements largely match our improvements. They're not going with the same controller that the rest of the region is, but the technology that they implemented is very similar. The city has, at the staff level, agreed to work very closely with us in coordinating this. I don't want to say it'll be completely seamless, because again, they're not a part of the overall project, but it'll be very close to seamless. The technologies aren't exactly the same, but they're similar.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? All right, we'll entertain a motion.
Indio approves the motion.
Second, Cathedral City.
There's a motion, a second. Any more discussion? Anybody opposed to this motion in the recommendation? All right, item passes. Move to item 6E, changeable message signs in Desert Hot Springs. Eric?
So one more tied back to our signal synchronization. But I think this one, if we look at the location, it's Desert Hot Springs. And we're looking at two corridors in particular, Palm Drive and North Indian Canyon. That's the two red stars. The yellow star is on there because it's on Gene Autry at Vista Chino. And the city of Palm Springs was able to obtain federal funding outside of our signal synchronization, but they received federal HSIP dollars to construct a changeable message sign in a very innovative and transformative way. They will be attaching a weather station to it. That weather station will be equipped with video as well. So it can measure the wind speed, it can measure the sand, it can measure the rainfall. And the city of Palm Desert, which Gene Autry and Indian Canyon are within the city of Palm Desert, they will be able to, with their changeable message sign, instruct drivers on what to expect and perhaps route them to alternative routes. Well, in Desert Hot Springs, at those two locations, the weather station that's in Palm Springs can communicate with Desert Hot Springs and vice versa, and they can establish any number of protocols. If it's a very windy day, if there's a sandy day, they can say, you know, expect high winds ahead, expect rain ahead, water on road or the road is closed. They can direct to alternative routes, and they'll work in conjunction. By definition, the city of Desert Hot Springs and the city of Palm Springs will have protocols where their messages will be coordinated. This is a little cartoonish, But this is essentially about the size of the sign and how it'll look. It'll be a full color sign. It won't be the typical amber kind of, I call it, you know, Caltrans amber sign. This will be a full color sign. There's a few of them throughout the valley. I wasn't able to find a good picture. But that'll be the type of sign. It'll be linked not just between Palm Springs and Desert Hot Springs, but linked to the rest of our phase two improvements as they come on board. So next. So again, one of the starting points of this was the flooding and blow sand study, which took a look at obviously these two corridors as being very critical, not only from an emergency standpoint getting to the hospital, but also from, you know, getting people to work in the city of Palm Springs from Desert Hot Springs and connecting those two cities. And beyond the bridges, the blow sand study talked about better communications with the traffic on those corridors. And so signal synchronization, which ties into phase two, helps accomplish flooding and blow sand. It helps the communications along those two corridors. And that's why the city of Palm Springs, with their project that's already started on Gene Autry, to put a changeable message sign up on there, said, the city of Desert Hot Springs said, hey, can we expedite out of phase two? Can we expedite North Indian Canyon and Palm Drive, pluck them out of phase two and put them in now? And we can. However, the easiest way to do that is to do it with Desert Hot Springs as the lead, because we aren't in phase two construction for our project yet, and that's where it's in our environmental, et cetera, et cetera. So the Desert Hot Springs will take the lead. It's going to be 100% of the funds for these two signs will come from our phase two. So it's not going to cost the region any additional money to expedite this. The dollar amount of $703,591 was based on the actual bid prices from our phase one contractor. The city would be free to utilize that contractor or get a better bid either way. But the city taking the lead allows that project to be expedited to where they could even be ordering their poles and mast arms. They could order them, you know, within a week or two. Those items take a long time. They can take 3, 4, 5 months sometimes. They're called long lead items. They can get those ordered. They can get through the process much more quickly than we can because of our use of federal funds. So basically we're asking that we expedite those two corridors out of phase two and contract with the city of Desert Hot Springs to expedite them and build them now, where we will develop a reimbursement agreement with them for not to exceed amount of $703,591. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Eric. Just to add to that, this is one of the many phases of moving traffic in and out of Desert Hot Springs into a lot of your cities. As I've stated many times, we have close to 10,000 people leaving our community, especially during the season, tourist season, non-COVID, to work in your communities in retail, hospitality, medical. The interchanges was a huge project to us over 10 years ago to get that traffic flowing a lot better, but we have a lot of issues getting into Palm Springs for emergency reasons and or work reasons, and this will help the traffic flow. We are taking on more message signs throughout our city to help traffic flow in the future. We have two main corridors in and out of our city, and these back up quite a bit. So this will give the opportunity for the commuters to see that these roads are possibly closed and or weather issues and use alternative routes like Varner, right, Mayor Gregory? with that said, I'll take any more comments.
Yeah, I'll make a comment. I think it's a great addition, and I would move to approve make a motion to approve.
I have a motion by Rancho Mirage.
Second.
I have a second by Palm Springs.
Yep.
Do we have more comments?
No, just that it's a really fantastic idea, and I appreciate the innovative thinking and moving it out of phase two and moving it up. So thank you to everyone that worked on it to make that happen.
Great. Do you have any opposition to this motion? All right, item passes. Item seven is informational. Is there anything on the informational calendar that anybody would like to see pulled? All right. Item 8 is public comments on non-agendized items. Joanna?
I have no comments.
Thank you. Our next meeting for transportation will be April 5th at 10 a.m. That's a Monday. And then the executive committee meeting is February 22nd at 4:30. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Tom and Mayor Gregory, could you stay on just for 5 minutes?
We'll do.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great Monday.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Same to you. Bye all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.